Tom Hopkins International presents Building Lifetime Clients Through Effective Customer Service.
Hello, this is Tom Hopkins, and I'm happy to join you and your company discussing a critical area of your business, and that's customer service and how to keep lifetime relationships with your customers. As you know, we always call the customer the person or the company that you serve, but during this program, I will call them customers. Let's begin by realizing that a customer's opinion of the entire company can very easily depend upon you. You see, the game of getting and keeping happy customers is either won or lost on the front lines, where the customers come in contact with employees. For most companies, that contact is made most often by sales, service, and support people like you. Therefore, it is you who can make or break a company by how you handle each and every client. Think about it. When you go into the grocery store and the item that you want is out of stock, you ask a clerk about it, right? Well, if the clerk doesn't have the item or doesn't know when it will be in stock, you don't leave the store upset with the clerk. You leave with a bad taste in your mouth for the store itself or even its entire chain. However, had the clerk done his or her job of customer service properly and given you an apology, an explanation, and or due date for the item, your feelings would be different. You might still be unhappy about not getting the item, but you'll feel as though they cared about your business. You may not think that one unhappy customer could make much difference in a company's overall profits, but believe me, there's a reason behind the saying, bad news travels fast. The average dissatisfied customer will tell at least 11 people about their poor experience with you. Those 11 people will tell about 5 others, so one dissatisfied customer can lead to poor press with at least 67 people within a week or two. Loss or a decrease in business from those people can affect the company enough that they may need to reduce their customer service department by one whole person, and we wouldn't want that to be you. So the goal of this program is to give you solid people skills that you can learn and apply starting today that will allow you to create lifetime clients. Statistics show that the average American company will lose between 10 and 30% of their clients each year, mostly due to poor service. These may seem like low figures, but when you realize that it costs 6 times as much to attract new customers through advertising and promotion as it does to keep an existing customer, you should understand even more the phenomenal value of your position to the company. Exceptional service brings you low or no cost promotions through referral business and positive press. Companies with high service ratings by their customers can see as much as a 25% increase in profits over their competition. So, to help you increase your skills and your value to both your employer and the customer, let's review some of the key qualities and characteristics that we find in exceptional customer service people. First, those people who give exceptional customer service are fully aware that they're not in the product business. Meaning, if you're in the business machine field, they realize they aren't marketing primarily business machines or automobiles or printing. They all know a truth. They realize that they are first and foremost in the people business. And the product and the benefits the customer derives from the product is what you market to make the profit. But we must continue to realize we are all in the people business. And they realize that they must keep up to date with the latest changes in their company. Yes, all the new technical aspects of the product, but they must always work on how they handle the people. Number two, they are service oriented. Giving and doing for others can bring you phenomenal personal rewards and satisfaction. Doing something kind for others is often recommended therapy by psychologists to help people overcome self-doubt, anxiety, and depression. So, top customer service people not only are oriented toward helping others, but they feel good about themselves. Number three, great customer service people have tremendous empathy for others. They can see the situation from the other person's point of view. They key in on what needs to be said or done to make this customer feel they've been heard and their concerns have been addressed. Number four, this is so important. They have excellent listening skills. They don't just hear the words, but they read between the lines. They listen for how the message is delivered to determine what style of delivery they need in handling each situation. For example, if a customer is irate and demanding, the customer service or support person says as little as necessary, sticking to the facts, delivering information in a calm manner. If the client is lighthearted and joking about the challenge, the customer service representative is also lighthearted, yet maintains a degree of professionalism. Number five, they not only keep up with company knowledge, but are aware of advancements in their entire industry. They understand that people are expecting them to have a certain level of expertise with regard to the product or service. They set personal goals to exceed those expectations. Number six, they maintain a professional image at all times. Even if all or most of their work is done over the telephone, they make it a point to dress professionally. They think, act, walk, and talk as if they were to meet clients in person, projecting confidence and competence. For those people who dress professionally for in-person contact, statistics show that they are more likely to generate repeat business than those customer service people who are not as well groomed. Number seven, lastly, they are excited about each day's opportunity to do good. They are up, enthusiastic about the power they have to make someone else's day. They look forward to each customer encounter and are ready, willing, and able to give each person the focused attention they deserve to make them feel good about their experience with your business. All right, now let's talk about people skills you can develop to enhance the fine job you are already doing. You're probably already aware that your initial contact with a customer or client sets the stage for the balance of your communication with them. So, it's critical that the first impression you make with them is positive. If you work at a customer service station in one of your company's locations, be extremely conscious of any side talk you have going on with coworkers that might be overheard by a customer. In other words, always assume a customer is listening. Don't talk about personal matters or mention anything negative or derogatory about the company or any of its products or services while on duty. Always stand tall, look the customer in the eye, and greet them with a smile, and please have good eye contact. I know this sounds simple, but it's easy to forget in the course of a busy day. If you're a technician of some sort who goes out to customer locations, first and foremost, arrive on time, if not a few minutes early. Introduce yourself to the receptionist and get his or her name as well. Of course, punctuality is important, but it's also important to remember the receptionist because he or she will be the one who will help you find your contact person, the equipment you're there to repair, an available telephone, the restroom, drinking fountain, or whatever else you might need. Treat this person with respect, and you will receive respect in return. Also, clear your mind of whatever else you were thinking of when this customer contacted you or when you entered the building. Build yourself a mental picture of wiping the slate clean or shifting gears so you can focus on the matter at hand. This will help you get through this client's concern much more quickly and help them feel that you really are tuned in to their needs. It also helps if you keep a clean work area. Gosh, I remember when I was in the real estate business, some of the people's desks were such a mess. And the people walk in and they judge the entire company. Now, oftentimes you have to have one drawer that is empty so that when you do have a client come in, you can push everything in that drawer, then take it out when the client leaves. You see, presenting the appearance of being neat and organized goes a long way to developing customer confidence in your ability to handle their needs. If you're a telephone support or service person, you too should greet each client with a smile and adjust your posture properly. Your attitude carries over the telephone wires loud and clear, so be smiling. In fact, I used to have the people that I managed when I was a manager in sales. I had little mirrors put on their telephones, and it was a game we played. I trained them to glance into the mirror at the outset of each customer contact to be certain they had a warm, inviting smile at the ready. Having proper posture allows you to think more clearly during the customer contact and keeps your energy level up, something else that transfers over those telephone lines. How would you feel if you could almost hear a mental slouch in the voice of a customer service person? You wouldn't have much confidence in their ability to handle your concerns. Always give your name to the client. This little extra added personal service tells them you care. You aren't trying to remain anonymous. You are taking accountability for satisfying their needs. When appropriate, ask their name and use it as they give it. If the customer says she's Jane Smith, call her Miss Smith. Don't become too familiar too quickly by calling her Jane. And never call her Janie. Don't change the person's name. The same goes for men. Use the more formal Mr. unless the client gives you permission to do otherwise. When in doubt, erring on the side of formality always leaves the client with a more professional image of you. Ask how you may serve them. Use questions like, how may I help you? What may I do for you? What were you looking for? And you in retail sales, when you do greet a client coming in, don't use the standard, may I help you? Because if you do, you'll hear the, no, we're just looking. Instead, try greeting them with a smile and thanking them for coming in. And then let them know that you work there and ask the question, was there anything I could show you in particular, or did you have any questions about our products or services? On a service call, you want to get the contact person to escort you to the equipment and elaborate on what the challenge is with it. Don't rely on the job order issued by your office. Something else may have happened since the client called you in. Get the information, make notes, ask questions about the challenge. Then tell them how long you anticipate it to take to take care of their challenge. Find out where this person can be reached and show respect for the value of their time by telling them you'll contact them as soon as you have some answers for them. Using the person's name in conversation is always wise. It makes them feel important that you are focused on their needs. Beware, though, of overusing it, but do use it several times in each conversation, especially at the end of the conversation when you thank them for patronizing your company. Never hesitate to give a client a sincere compliment. If you're face-to-face with clients, look for an article of clothing or something in their manner that you can compliment them on. If you're on the phone with them, make a comment about their knowledge of your product or company or their wisdom in asking pertinent questions. If a compliment is truly sincere, there's nothing wrong with giving it. Now, many people are not comfortable with giving compliments. I suggest you set a goal to give a certain number of compliments each day in order to develop the compliment habit. You'll be amazed at how much better your attitude is and how much more popular you become. You could even turn an unhappy client into a happy one by starting your contact with them with a few kind words. After you've resolved the challenge, be sure to give the customer the details of what you've done for them. Be certain they are satisfied with those results before moving on to another customer. Be sure they have the proper paperwork or the number given to their request if it's something that you've handled on the telephone.
Good morning. My name is Steve Stone. I'm with Tech 2000. I'm here to see Mary Edwards about the copier.
One moment and I'll get her for you. Mary, there's a Steve Stone from Tech 2000 here to see you. Thank you. If you'd like to have a seat, she'll be right out.
Thank you.
Hi, Steve. I'm Mary.
Good morning, Mary. You're having some challenges with the copier today?
Yes, the copies aren't very clean looking. Hopefully you can do something about that.
I know how frustrating these things are. I'm certain I can fix it rather quickly. Is there some sort of deadline you're working on with regard to making copies?
We need to have 800 copies of a certain document ready to go out the door by this afternoon. Let me show you where the machine is.
Mary, I know your time is valuable. May I call you at your extension when I've located the challenge area? Then I can let you know just how long the repair will take.
That would be fine. I'm at extension 24. If I don't answer, dial 0 and the receptionist will find me.
Mary, this is Steve Stone. I discovered the challenge with the copier and have repaired it. I'd like to take about 15 minutes more to run a full diagnostic on the equipment to be sure everything else is okay before I leave. Is now a good time, or do you need to make some copies before I begin?
I'd like to run a couple of copies real quick right now. I'll be right there.
If you'll please approve this paperwork, I'll be on my way and you can go back to making your copies.
Sure. Thanks, Steve.
Do you run this large a batch of copies often?
Not too often. This is a special project.
That's fine, then. If you were to continue running such large volumes, you might want to do some research on a machine with larger capabilities. If you ever have that need, I'd be happy to have someone put together some recommendations for you.
Thanks. I'll keep that in mind.
All finished. Thanks for your help. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Never hesitate to ask clients how you can improve. Now, I know it's tough to ask for criticism, but that's the best way to get better at what you do. Who knows more about what they want, need, or expect from your business than regular customers? No one. So, never hesitate to ask if the customer found everything they needed, if your coworkers were helpful, if they can think of ways you could improve your service or add to your line of products. Another aspect of people skills that can help you is to understand the power of the words you use. Words create pictures in our minds. For example, when I say the word tree, you don't see the word tree in your mind. You picture a tree. Now, depending upon how you feel about a tree, a certain emotion is evoked. If you fell out of a tree when you were a child and you broke your arm, you probably have a different feeling than if you had a wonderful tree house in which you had many good times with your friends. So let's discuss some of the words you may be using and how they can hurt customers as to their feelings they have towards you. They may even put up a defense when you say some of these words. Now, the first word that I'd like you not to say too often is the word I. Even though the customer thinks of you as the business, since you're their point of contact, you will sound more competent and knowledgeable if you use the word we when referring to the business. You see, it gives the customer an image of a team of people working to their benefit. Problem is another word that I'd like you to eliminate. You see, if a customer contacts you with a problem, I want you to use the word challenge. You see, a problem gives the feeling of something that stops progress. A challenge is like throwing down the gauntlet. It's something you can overcome that we're going to handle for you. Also, never say, I don't know, or I'm not sure with a customer. Always say, I'll find out, or even better, tell them I'll be happy to find out for you. That lends a more service-oriented feeling to the encounter. Don't use the word cheaper with a client. You see, when you say cheaper, in some people's mind, that means it won't last, it hasn't got the quality. Instead, refer to your product or service as being more economical or providing them with great savings. Another word that I'd like you not to use with the customer is cost. You see, cost is a money term that you should try to avoid. Cost or price, these words bring to the mind picture of spending money or leaving money. Instead, use softer terms such as total investment or total amount. You see, refer to the customer getting an economical product for only a small amount in exchange for the wonderful benefits they'll gain. Do you see the picture that this creates? Never use the term deal. Now, you've heard people say, you know, what you're getting here is really a good deal. Well, it might be, but you see, everyone is always looking for a good deal, but all too often, deals are too good to be true. So instead, refer to your offering as a good opportunity or a great transaction for them. Now, when you need to get the other person's signature on paperwork or a credit card slip, don't ask them to sign on the dotted line. Ask for their approval or ask them to okay the amount. See, we've all heard our elders tell us not to sign anything without reading the fine print. Therefore, we have a negative image in our minds of the word sign in that particular connotation. So avoid creating any hesitancy in the customer by asking for their approval instead. Now, if a customer comes to you with an objection about a company policy or challenge with your product, the two most important words for you to use are, I understand. You see, what you're saying is, I'm on your side and we're walking together for a solution. Or the words, I understand your concern, beautiful words. I understand that you're upset. I understand that you need more information. Let me help you. You see, when they realize they've gotten their point across, the ball is then in your court, and they can relax and wait for you to do your job. The next key area of people skills that you need to hone is your listening skills. Now, studies have proven that we invest the least amount of time in school learning to listen, when that's the skill we need the most in life and in business. You see, we each have two ears and one mouth. That's the proportion I believe that they should be used. You should train yourself to listen twice as much as you talk. There are many distractions to listening that can keep you from doing a good job, so let's review them and work on eliminating them. The first thing to eliminate is external distractions. Do anything within your power to eliminate the sound of radios, other people talking around you when handling a customer's needs. If need be, in a retail setting, step aside to a quieter area with the customer. Do whatever you must do to increase your focus ability. The next listening pitfall is fatigue. If you're just flat out tired, you won't be able to listen well. Taking care of yourself is a requirement for being able to take care of others. Know your energy levels. If you feel yourself sinking, move around, take a break if possible. Take some deep breaths to get your energy restored. Time lag is another challenge to listening well. You see, most people can understand 300 to 500 words per minute, while the average person talks at 150 to 200 words per minute. So there's a lag time in which your mind is seeking stimulation while the other person is talking. Be aware of this. And either take notes on what is being said or pay careful attention to the unspoken message in the body language of the other person. This will keep your mind busy, but not let it alter its focus from the client's needs. The semantics or meaning of words can cause listening challenges. If you talk with people from other parts of the country or from other countries, there are certain words that may be foreign to you. Your mind will occupy itself to find a reasonable picture for what they're trying to say, and you might miss the next point they cover. So, if you hear a word that confuses you, don't hesitate to ask the client to clarify that point. Do it politely by saying, "To help me do a better job for you, would you mind clarifying what you mean by?" And you'll be amazed how they appreciate the fact that you're that concerned. Applying those few strategies will improve your listening skills dramatically and allow you to give better service. It may take a week or so of conscious effort before you can automatically do these things, but adding them to your existing skills is well worth the effort. With any customer service contact, your goal is to get as much information as possible about the client's needs, so you can determine the proper course of action to take to satisfy them. The best way to get information and maintain control of the conversation is to ask very specific questions. If your customer service situations tend to be a bit touchy, meaning the clients are frustrated and angry when you hear from them, you'll want to exude courtesy in every word you utter. Memorize and start applying these phrases when you ask questions. For example, "Mr. Johnson, in order to assist you, may I please ask a few questions?" Or, Mr. Johnson, you wouldn't mind, would you, if I ask a few questions to help me understand your situation? The questions you ask should be geared toward isolating the exact challenge the customer is facing and the solution they expect to satisfy their needs. By asking pertinent questions, you'll help keep the customer focused on giving you just the information you need. You also need to ask questions to be certain you're on the right track for resolving the situation. I suggest a type of question called the tie-down question to help you get a yes or no answer from the client. Tie-downs are questions at the end of sentences that demand a yes or no response. Now, some of the tie-downs are, isn't it, doesn't it, wasn't it, couldn't it, wouldn't it, shouldn't it, don't you agree? These can be used nicely to get what we call yes momentum or agreement. Something like this: you seem very happy with the product. You are, aren't you? Now they elaborate on how happy they are, and we're building good feelings, good momentum, you see. So have fun with the tie down. Try asking these little questions during the servicing process. I've sure enjoyed talking to you. We've done the job, haven't we? You'd be amazed how they give you that little agreement and you're building the entire image of your business. Now, one of the keys to this little tie down question is to practice it all during the day, not to become obnoxious, but to make it a natural reflex. You might want to practice saying, if this is applicable, of course, you do want the blue sweater after all, don't you? Or, gosh, you're going to be happy when we get this resolved, aren't you? You see, getting the client to agree with you is a key element in reaching the best solution. Now, another type of question will help you in customer service situations, what I call the porcupine question. Now, it's a funny little name, but years ago I found that if you answered some questions with a question, you could lead the client to the next area of agreement. Now, I kept forgetting to do it, so I thought, well, I'll have a visual. I'll just pretend when they ask this type of question that they're actually throwing a live prickly porcupine in my lap. Well, of course, what would I want to do? Throw it back. And that's what you do with certain questions. You see, when you use the porcupine, you're answering a question with a question to help you get more specific information. It's kind of like feeding back what they've told you. Rather than just saying it'll take the company 10 days to issue a check, you might say, we have several means of providing you with your refund. What do you have in mind? This allows you to find out what they're expecting and prepare to deliver your answer either more cheerfully if it's better than they expect, or with a bit of tact if it's not. You have to be aware of asking questions that the client cannot answer specifically if your business is a technical one. This would make them feel at a disadvantage. If you do ask something they cannot answer, suggest a way they could come up with the answer, which would make them feel smart. And making clients feel important, making clients feel smart, is another critical part of establishing a lifetime relationship with a client. You also need to use questions to help clients realize needs that you anticipate them having that they might not even think about. For example, if you work in a craft store and someone asks you about, acrylic paints, once you've helped them with their specific request, ask if they're going to need paintbrushes, canvas, or anything else that might relate to their original request. You see, once the buying momentum begins with many people, they are open to purchase more from your business. So the good customer service representative always tries to do what we call an add-on sale if possible, asking if they could serve them with other products or services. Now, if they're picking up items for another person or perhaps as a gift, you could save them having a challenge with their purchase later. In fact, you could make them look good in the eyes of the person they're buying for. If the customer is seeking a resolution to a challenge that is beyond the norm for your company, offer them two other solutions that are acceptable practices by your business and ask which they'd prefer. Never say, "We can't do that." Simply focus on what you can do. There's another couple of words I'd love you to remember when you're challenged with something you may not be able to do. Instead of bluntly saying, "We can't do that," practice saying words like this: "We try to be flexible in the way we serve our clients. Anything is feasible at this point. And by using the terms flexible and feasible, you aren't coming back in an attack mode, and it softens as you get into your explanation. When you encounter a client who is very talkative, you can regain control of the conversation or end it by saying things like, "Just one more thing, Mr. Jones, before we wrap this up." Or you might say, "I know your time is valuable, so I won't keep you any longer. Remain calm and polite. Take control. Finish the call. Thank him. Wish him a great day. And end the call." It's bound to happen that you'll encounter an angry client. Whether their anger is justified or not doesn't matter. What matters is that you handle the contact properly. Here are the steps for handling an angry client. Step number one, don't take it personally. They're not angry with you, they're angry with the situation. Number two, speak calmly and at a level lower than theirs. In many cases, others will unconsciously match your rate and level of speaking. Step number three, acknowledge their anger. Tell them, "I understand how you feel. I'm sure that would upset you. I'm sorry you feel this way." By empathizing with them, they'll soon realize you're not the enemy, that you're trying to give them a good solution. Step number four, always stay positive. Tell them you're confident you can come up with a satisfactory solution. And step five, ask questions to be certain you're getting the whole story. Feed their answers back to them. When people are angry, they tend to become illogical. So repeating the challenge to them as they've stated will help them be clear about what went wrong. Step number six, listen, listen, listen until they have nothing else to tell you that's pertinent to the situation. Step number seven, tell them you're dedicated to finding a solution. If the situation requires some research on your part, tell them so. Tell them how long that research should take, and tell them that you'll get back to them. Once they know action is being taken, they'll be more likely to calm down.
No, I don't know. No, but he's here now, so maybe I'll get some answers. All right, yeah, I'll get back to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jackson. I got here as quickly as I could. Now, what kind of challenges are you having with the system today?
I don't know. It just keeps flashing error signals at everybody. My entire staff is frustrated no end. Now look, this is the third time in the last 2 weeks we've had to call you down here. How long is it going to be this time before we can all get back to work?
Well, I'm confident I can have an answer for you very shortly.
I certainly hope so. We can't get anything done this way. The main reason we went with this system is the reliability, and it's costing us a lot of money not to be able to use it.
Well, I understand how frustrating the initial challenges of a new system can be. I know it's important for you to get everyone back online right away, but is it more important to get a particular person back online first?
Yeah. I really need those figures that Susan is working on. Then maybe we can at least salvage that one. Then I need everybody else back online so we can do what we do around here to land and keep accounts.
All right. I'll start with Susan and then continue from there. Now, would you like me to report back to you periodically just so we'll know how things are progressing?
Yeah, that'd be great. Then maybe I can figure a way out of this mess we're in.
I understand, Mr. Jackson. I'll get on it right away.
Look, Gene, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to go off at you like that. It's just this whole situation is very frustrating. Now, I know once you get all the bugs worked out, everything's going to be fine. Meanwhile, just please keep me posted on what you find, all right?
All right, Mr. Jackson. We'll get through this, and I'm confident you'll be happy with the results.
And step number eight, do what you promised or deliver the solution. In fact, a great little saying is, under-promise and over-deliver. And I think that's so applicable in business today. Step number nine, confirm that what you've done is satisfactory to the client. Ask if there are any other concerns. And step 10, thank them for bringing their concern to your attention. Apologize for the situation and express a sincere desire that they'll continue to patronize your business. Step 11, follow up with the client at an appropriate time to be certain they're still happy with how things are resolved. In fact, a great idea, send a little handwritten thank you note. I cannot impress upon you the importance of little handwritten thank you notes. I built my business to almost 100% referral business because every client I met, after that meeting, I would handwrite a little thank you note. You'd be amazed how an irate client who's thinking about going to your competitor will stay loyal to you if you send them these thank you notes. Now, another customer type you'll encounter is the complainer. Many times this person just wants to be listened to, not to necessarily have much of anything done about it. Take the time to listen to the complaint. Then ask them how they would suggest the matter be resolved. If it's a situation that needs immediate attention, thank them for their advice and excuse yourself with an explanation that you'll see to it right away. If the resolution is something that can wait, again, thank them for their valuable input and let them know you'll take their suggestion to heart. To the manager, to the suggestion box, whatever necessary so that this person feels appeased. Chances are good that other customers will overhear your effective management of the complaint, and you and the business will both gain a few notches in their levels of esteem for your establishment. Always remember, providing good quality customer service is not an option for any business. It's critical to the very survival of one, and that service begins, and most often ends, with your attitude about what you do. Adopt an attitude of servitude. Set goals for yourself to make other people happy for having met you, and you'll be a winner at creating lifetime customers through excellent customer service.
As Tom says, it takes 6 repetitions of the material for you to retain 62% of it. So please listen again and again. For more information on other Tom Hopkins training programs, contact Tom Hopkins International at 800-528-0446. Or visit our website at www.tomhopkins.com.